Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story was recorded by Rabbi Yaakov Kadaner, as heard from one of the students of Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi. It's written by Ashron Baltazar and published on Chabad.org. It is dedicated to the Sharfstein kids and all the children who have such a long car ride to school and enjoy listening to these stories. This is for you. Enjoy and have a safe drive. Our story is called The Lost Boy and the Secret Slip of Parchment. There once lived an innkeeper who had unfortunately accrued a big debt to the local Polish Duke. The Duke had the innkeeper and his family removed from the small inn they called home and forcibly brought to his estate, where they were imprisoned. Then, the innkeeper's wife gave birth to a healthy boy. 7 days later, a delegation of townspeople trooped into the Duke's office and respectfully requested that the Jewish family be allowed to perform a circumcision, a bris milah, on the newborn. Mindful of the circumstances, they promised it wouldn't take long. Whether it was the formality of the convoy that impressed the Duke, or simply because he had a change of heart, the Duke agreed, provided that there would be guards posted around them at all times. With the newborn cradled in the mother's arms, the family emerged from their prison, blinking in the sunlight, and the bored guards standing around the small clearing shifted to more alert position. 10 men had come from the nearby town, and the bris milah was deftly performed. After wishing the parents a hearty mazel tov, the guests, along with the Duke's gatekeeper, sat down for a festive meal. Guests and gatekeeper alike were singing, and the guards also joined the drinking and soon nodded off to sleep. Night had already fallen when the gatekeeper turned to the guests with a glint in his eyes. "I have 3 very strong horses, fast as deer," he whispered. "If you are willing to pay, I will take the innkeeper and his family to a city far from here tonight." The man's plan made sense. Winter nights were long, and the roads were not yet entirely covered with snow. The guests dug deep in their pockets, pulled together some rubles, and handed them over to the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper grabbed the innkeeper and his family and hauled them onto his muscular horses, and the unlikely band barreled through the gates of the Duke's estate. Not a guard stirred. They were partway to the city when the innkeeper and his wife suddenly realized that their baby was not with them. They had left him behind on the Duke's estate. Through sobs and shrieks, the parents begged the gatekeeper to return. But the gatekeeper didn't care. His life was already on the line, and a return to the estate would be an effective way to end it. He ignored the desperate pleas and spurred his horse to go faster. Back at the estate, one by one, the guards awoke and looked around them with horror. The innkeeper and his family were nowhere to be seen. Search parties were dispatched, but no luck. All the prisoners were gone, except for the baby. The gatekeeper soon returned and spun a brave tale with himself at the center. The family had taken the horses and escaped. He had tried to chase them, but they had outrun him. By the time he was done, the Duke believed that the prisoners outsmarted him. As for his part in the daring flight, the gatekeeper was never suspected. Childless for years now, the gatekeeper and his wife desperately wished for a son. The lone baby boy posed a unique opportunity. As a favored employee, the gatekeeper took the Duke aside and asked whether the Duke would give him the boy as a son. To the gatekeeper's immeasurable delight, the Duke consented. He agreed. Soon enough, the gatekeeper and his wife became papa and mama for the little boy. When the boy turned 8, the gatekeeper taught him how to herd sheep and began sending him out into the field. and it was then that he learned of his heritage. He was in the field tending the sheep when the other shepherds began to taunt him. "Do you really think that the gatekeeper is your father?" they sneered. "You're not really one of us, you know. That's because you're a Jew." The boy listened with disbelief as they recounted the entire story. "That never happened," the boy shot back. "Well, how about we prove it to you?" said the others. "You are circumcised, and only Jews are circumcised." Presented with this proof, he felt shaken to his core. He was suddenly gripped by a need to discover everything he could about Judaism. He had to escape. When the gatekeeper and his wife left on a trip, the boy knew this was his only chance. He dashed out the front door, down the familiar roads, and past the town's outskirts. He continued running until he chanced upon a shtetl, a Jewish town. There, he told his story to the bewildered passerby. They helped him get settled with a family, where he was given food and clothing, including a talis katan in his size. Now, he looked like the Jew he was. He stayed in that town for an entire year, learning the Aleph Beis and the daily prayers. Eventually, the townspeople sent him to a different town further away, as his identity was always at risk of being discovered. The boy steadily progressed through Chumash and basic Talmud. After his bar mitzvah, the boy traveled to a yeshiva, where he became quite a scholar. From there, the boy, now a young man, was selected as a tutor by a tavern owner whose sons needed the constant presence of a teacher. This tavern owner was a chassid of Reb Michal from Zlotchev. Before his next visit to see his Rebbe, the tavern keeper asked the tutor if he wanted to come along. "Yes, of course I'll go," said the young man. "Maybe the Rebbe will be able to help me locate my parents." And so the two headed for Zlotchev the next day. The tavern owner was the first to be ushered into the Rebbe's room, followed by the young man. Deciding that it would be best to start from the beginning, the young man recounted his whole story. Locating his family and seeing them again weighed on his mind more than anything. Reb Michal said nothing. He took out a small square of parchment, dipped his pen in ink, and scrawled a few words on it. The young man watched silently as Reb Michal folded the parchment, took out a piece of leather and a needle, and sewed the parchment into the leather pouch. "Wear this under your clothes," said Reb Michal, handing his handiwork to the young man. "It must remain tightly sealed until you're standing under the chuppah with the rabbi close by. He is to open this pouch and read whatever is written, after which he may proceed with the ceremony." For years, the young man wore the odd piece of leather underneath his clothing wherever he went. He traveled to a faraway town and again found work as a tutor, a task to which he was finally suited. When he turned 19, offers of potential matches began to pour in. A wealthy man who lived nearby took a liking to the young man. As time passed and the two conversed more and more regularly, their relationship developed into one of mutual respect and affection. The rich man had a daughter, and he proposed a match between the two young people. "I can't continue with this," said the young man, glancing at his future in-laws, whose candlelit expressions turned from blissfully content to shock. Under the chuppah, with everyone gathered around him and his kala, his bride, he was moments away from placing the ring on her fingers when he remembered Reb Michal's instructions. "I have orders from Reb Michal of Zlotchev to have a qualified rabbi present during my wedding. In no way am I proceeding without this condition." Without much choice, the wedding was rescheduled for the following day, and the well-dressed crowd disbanded, grumbling to themselves. A carriage was soon sent to a nearby town to retrieve a rabbi upon the wealthy man's orders. The following evening, the wedding ceremony was repeated, albeit this time under the watchful eye of a rabbi. The young man reached under his glossy coat, pulled out the fraying slip of yellowed parchment, and gave it to the rabbi. Dozens of pairs of eyes followed his every move as he unfolded the parchment and peered at Reb Michal's handwriting. The rabbi's eyes widened in surprise. I don't understand, the rabbi said softly. He showed the young man the words he had carried for years. There were only six. How could he marry his sister? The young man stared at the words in shock. This can't be happening, he thought. A bubble of joy began to form inside his chest, growing bigger and bigger until he sprang from beneath the chuppah and began prancing through the stunned crowd, clapping his hands with every skip. A wave of murmurs washed over the crowd. The parents of the bride watched in horror, convinced that their prized groom, their chassan, had descended into madness. The rabbi ran over to the young man. Why are you acting like this? He demanded. What do those words mean? The young man told the rabbi everything. It was clear to him that Ramechlov Zlotchev knew that his father-in-law would be his real father and that his bride, his sister. The rabbi began to question the father-in-law, who was still confused by the entire story. Where did he come from? The father-in-law described his escape from the duke so long ago. Did he save all his children? No, as he had left behind one son, a newborn. How many years ago did this all happen? 19 years ago. The young man interjected, I too am 19 years old. I am the newborn, you forgot, and the bride is my sister. So-and-so is the gatekeeper, and such is the name of the duke's estate, correct? The parents embraced the boy they thought was lost forever, drenching their wedding attire with tears of joy. Needless to say, the dancing and joy following this long-awaited reunion was greater than any wedding.